He must have humor. Have you ever met somebody and you just wondered, what was God's idea when he created this one? If you never had that thought, then you are super holy, because I have those ideas constantly. Especially when I go to certain airports and I watch what's going to get on the plane with me, I say, Lord Jesus, help me. I just hope so-and-so doesn't sit next to me. Amen. But, yeah, I told them a few stories again today. So I have lots of stories, good ones and humorous ones. Because when you travel, you work with people. And when you work with people, you work with people that is incomplete. And the beautiful thing is God loves all people. All colors, all nations, all races, he loves us all. And I had to learn, okay, God, if you made that Susie that way, then I will work with Susie the way you made her. But thank you, Jesus, that my wife is not like that. Or, you know, you think all these things and then you just ask forgiveness later on. Okay, go with me to John 11. Again, I'm always in a war with what shall I minister, because there's such a lot of beautiful things I want to share with you. And then I don't want to minister the whole night. I want to pray for people. But I want to go to this piece of portion of Scripture just for a few minutes, and I'm going to try to even cut out certain things. John 11, verse 1, it's all about the death of Lazarus. But it's not only at the death of Lazarus, it's watching Jesus, what he does and how he operates. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And I remember Mary and Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was very, very sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now, the Lord loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and he stayed at that house several times. That's a house that he really loved. And when Jesus heard that he was sick, Jesus said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. For the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Strange Jesus. When he heard this a critical problem, he decided not to go. And he delayed going to that house. He stayed two more days in the place where he was. In verse 15, on their way to the house, he said to the disciples, because the disciples said to him in verse 8, they said to him, Jesus, lately the Jews wanted to stone you there, and now you're going to go back to that same place? So Jesus is now on his way to the same place. But in verse 15, he said to them, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. So here we have Jesus hearing about the death of Lazarus. And then he made a statement. He says, Lazarus, or the sickness, is not unto death, but for the glory of God. So 2 days delayed for glory. It's almost like he's saying, I need to delay going there in order that when the miracle happens, it will be for the sake of glorifying God. Wow. Glory. You sang it tonight. Here comes the glory. And every time you sang it, here comes the glory, the Lord said to me, that's what I want you to talk about. Here comes the glory. What is glory? The Greek word for glory is doxa. It means the visible manifestation of God's nature and ability. Wow. Nature and ability. I'm not going to teach you what is the nature of God. You know by now. And his ability. Are you here for a feel-good sermon? Or are you here for a visible manifestation of his nature and his ability? Wow. That's the Greek word. Now let's try to make sure that the Greek is correct. The Hebrew word for glory is kavod, which means his nature, his character, his ability. So God is saying, I'm going to delay going there so that I can set them up for glory. And I want to talk to you tonight about all the things in your life that you feel like, where was God when things spin out of control? He delayed going and he held back. Now, if Jesus was alive today and he was the pastor of Hebrew Springs First Assembly or Hot Springs First Assembly or whatever Springs First Assembly, just remember First Assembly, not Second and Third First Assembly. So one of the problems I have here in America, I meet all the First Assemblies, but I've never met Second and Third Assembly. But anyway, but if Jesus was a pastor today, and he was invited to somebody that's on his deathbed, and he decided, I'm not going to go now, I'm going to wait 2 days where I am, let them suffer, you're going to be, Jesus, you're going to be fired. The Assemblies of God would never have accepted Jesus in full-time ministry. He would never have received credentials from any denomination. But you know what? He doesn't need your credentials. He doesn't need your paper of approval. Come on. You know, we live in a day where we have certificates of degrees and doctorates and oh man, we celebrate it, we frame it, we put it on the wall, and we make sure that it sits in a place that when anybody walks in, they will say, oh, you've got 3 doctorates, brother. Wow. Jesus said, no, I don't need your paper. I'm going to delay going there because I want to show them the ultimate ability of who I am. Come on. So here he goes, and the disciples said to him, you're going to go there? They're going to stone you. I want to make a statement. Jesus is going to the place where they would love to stone him to show them his glory. And I want to say, based on that truth, the last time they tried to stone you, the last time you had a bad experience somewhere, God says, that is the place where I'm going to show you who I am for you. So that the places where you had mishaps in your life is the very place where God says, let me surprise you. Church, I remember many, many years back in my ministry, I prepared from Monday to Saturday to preach on Sunday. And then I came to a point in my ministry that on Sunday, after being in the Word for 6 days, I'm more confused Sunday morning about what I need to preach than what I was confused when I started on Monday. And I realized... I have a problem because I want to say too much, and then God changed everything in my life. He changed the way I preach, and something happened. When I come back in another time, I'll tell you exactly what happened. He opened my eyes for the Scriptures. And since then, everything changes, and I've learned that sometimes God will delay me to set me up for glory. Now, you and I, we don't understand these things because when we go to verse 21, Martha, now Jesus arrived. Now, Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now he's dead because he waited 2 days. Now remember, Martha and Mary, they send people to Jesus to tell him, you need to come, he's dying. And so they knew exactly when Jesus got the message. So they knew Jesus came 2 days late. They knew it. So now Martha tried to do the blame game, and she said, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You see, that's what all of us do. If you had been here. We all have that phrase somewhere in our life, Lord, if you had been here. Lord, if you only showed up at the right time. God operates outside your schedule. He operates outside time. Before we even had a schedule, God already existed. Come on. Before he created the earth, before there even was calendars, he existed. Come on. And so when you go later on, you're going to read in verse 32, and when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Blame game. So both sisters is complaining and whining the same old story. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I've learned that when God delays certain things that I want him to do at a certain time, there's always a bigger reason behind it, but it's so frustrating to wait until he finally shows up. And I want to say to all of you tonight, there's things in your life that you would have loved, it should have been in place 10 years ago. It should have happened 20 years ago. I remember in my 20s, I expected certain things to happen, and certain things in my life happened later than what had happened for others. I'm specifically referring to pastors. We're all young pastors. We are all like horses, and we wanna break out and run the race of the gospel. But there was one or two things that was delayed in my ministry that worked different than in other ministries. And for years, I thought I'm behind. And I don't have time to go into the detail. I can announce to you today that after 44 years, I am way ahead of those that I thought was ahead of me. Not because I'm good. He delayed me for glory. And 4 years ago, I went to South Africa, and I was invited to a barbecue, and there was a man of God those days who all I thought is ahead of me. Not in a bad way. He was just a great man of God. But I've never met him, and he never met me. So both of us knew about one another our whole ministry life, but never met. Here we met at a barbecue, and it's almost like he waited to meet me. And we sat down, and he said, Andre, I need to talk to you. And suddenly, he gave me an update of my whole ministry since in my late 20s. I never knew he studied me. I never knew he observed my ministry. I never knew that. And then he said things like, you made critical decisions in your ministry when all of us was in a comfort zone, and we never had to make those decisions. And then he started to tell me, Brother Andre, you are running ahead in what you do in the globe today. And all we can do is we sit in the pavilion watching you, what you do. And as this man talked, the Lord said to me, listen. And I said, no, I want to listen, Lord, because I'm stunned by what he's telling me. He knows more about me than what I ever thought anybody knows. I didn't even know he knew who I was. But anyway, I discovered that when he delayed me in my 20s, he actually prepared me for a season where he will do greater things, and I never saw that coming. Here we have it. Jesus delayed his glory for 2 days. Not really his glory. He is the glory of God. Come on. He is the visible manifestation of the glory of God. If you want to see God's glory, just have a visit, just see Jesus in the scriptures even. And so the beautiful thing here is this. Now he comes to the graveside, and Jesus saw them weeping, and he groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him? Where did you lay down the thing that you thought I should have been here before?" And I want to call it layaways. I don't know whether you have that word in America, but I remember in South Africa, if you don't have money but you like that pair of shoes, you go and you do a layaway. And when I saw that word, I said, "Lord, Jesus is saying, where did you lay him down?" We all have things that we laid aside, we laid away because we think it was never God. It must be God's will that Lazarus is dead. It must be God's will that we will never see Lazarus again. Because that's why they said, if you had been here. With a God that we serve, your layaways is not secure. Jesus said, "Where did you lay him down?" Now, you know the story because it's such a familiar story in the Word. Jesus wept. And Jesus said to them, the people there said, some said, could this man not open the eyes of the, who opened the eyes of the blind? Could he not keep this man from dying? Could he not keep this man from dying? Why did he not keep this man from dying? We all have that approach. Lord, you are too late. Lord, you could have kept him from dying, but they never talk about how about resurrect him. There's a lot of things that you feel like you could not keep, you could not hold on to it. You could not, it had to go. It's Ichabod. It was over. Maybe you've got something that was, it's over 5 years ago. Maybe it was over 1 year ago. You say, well, if you only did it 2 years ago, it would have been fine. But now it's no, no, no. God says, I delay myself for 2 days for glory. Sometimes if God gives your miracle too quickly, you will not see the miraculous the way he wants you to see it. Come on. He delayed the whole miracle. He wanted Lazarus to die. That's what he wanted. He wanted Lazarus to die. That's why when they spoke to him on the road, he said, Lazarus is just sleeping. And when they did not understand the fact that Jesus said, Lazarus is sleeping, Jesus said to them at one point, he says, okay, man, I don't even know where the verse is. Jesus said in verse 14, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Plainly. So what he's actually saying to them, let me talk plain language with you. My observation is he's sleeping, but you will not understand that. Okay, in your language, he's dead. There's things in your thinking that's dead. God says, no, it's just sleeping. I want to put a little red line under that. Jesus called it sleep. They did not get it. Because for them, when the breath is gone, it's Ichabod. Jesus said, okay, for you to understand, I will use your language, Lazarus is dead. But now that you know Lazarus is dead, you know what I say is he's sleeping. But to use your language, I waited for 2 days so that in your thinking he can be dead. Those days they believed that if somebody, 3 days, you can resurrect him. There's a possibility. 4 days, it's too long. Lazarus was 4 days dead. Jesus waited until their thinking completely lost it. And then he said, now it's time for my nature, my ability, my character. Come on. You see, if there's a little bit of life left, then you can take glory. But sometimes God says, I'm going to wait it out until you lose hope, because I want to show you that I can not only do miracles when I'm on time, I can even recall. Oh, come on. How many of you know that there is such a thing where they recall your car and say, you better bring that Toyota back because there's a little mistake in the car, and you're so excited for that recall on your car, and you drive in there because you know they're going to fix my car and it's not going to cost me 1 cent. Jesus did a recall. Thank you for your excitement. Just sit down. Don't get overexcited now. I hope this makes sense. You know what? When I see this, I say, Lord, I've been through this. And, you know, when God delay his glory in your life, that's not easy. But when he does that glorious thing after he delayed it, in my 20s, I didn't like it when I realized, hey, man, there's things delayed in my life that's working in their lives. There's things delayed in my ministry that's working for them like you can't believe it. Now that I'm in my 60s and 70s, I say, thank you, Jesus. You had an incredible thing in mind. Oh, I'm so glad you delayed me, because some of them is completely out of the ministry. And Lord, they have no voice. And here I am. I'm an old man. And I'm still preaching the gospel. And I still see the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Am I right? Of course I'm right. So, because those people said the same thing in verse 37. He could have kept this man from dying. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Now, they've put the stone in place. God says, no. Reverse. Because the stone was actually their confession. They put a stone in front of the grave of Lazarus, because they actually say, by putting the stone there, they said, it's over. Jesus said, no, 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 I'm 2 days late, reverse. You reverse your confession. Jesus could have said, okay, I will remove the stone, but he said, no, you remove the stone. It's your stone. You paid money to get this round stone. You financed the stone. Remove the stone. I will do what I do, and you can do what you do. You see, when I do what I do, he do what he does. That sounds good. If I do what I do, he do what he does. If I do what I do, he do what he does. If I do what I do, you are slow. If I do what I do, he do what he does. You need to get a little bit of rhythm. Come on, you young man. If I do what I do, he do what he does. So they remove the stone. And now, remember, there was a smell. There was a stench. I mean, the bones already separated from the flesh on the 4th day. But I tell you what, when the recall, come on, when you get that letter, recall, Mazda CX-9 2008, I say, thank you, Jesus. My car, because that's my car that I have at the moment, is a 2008 CX-9. It's got 138,000 miles on it. And when they say recall, bring that Mazda, I say, thank you, Lord. I'm taking my old Mazda. I've got a recall. Oh, I pray that soon we will see a recall from heaven, where God says, it's time for the recall. It's time to bring Lazarus out and bring him back. Come on. Now watch this. Watch this. The moment Jesus called Lazarus, the first miracle that happened is the smell in the air disappeared. Come on. The smell of death hang in the air. You can smell rotten flesh. And before Lazarus came out, if I was there, I would have said, the atmosphere just changed. Because the flesh that caused the bad smell is not bad flesh anymore. A miracle happened. And I want to say to you tonight, based on that, prepare yourself for the smell that you got used to disappear, for the recall of your miracle is at hand. I need to stop now. Whatever that thing in your life is that you gave up on, that you thought God is late, the recaller has just arrived. The recaller just arrived. And he delayed your miracle so that when you see the recall of Lazarus, oh man, can you imagine Martha and Mary? When they saw, here comes Lazarus. He was wrapped in death clothing. And again, Jesus said to them, unwrap him. You see, we all have wrappings, confessions, that we say when things go wrong and we cannot explain it. We put wrappings around it. Or it must be God's will. And then you even find a scripture reference and you quote it. Just to encourage yourself that it must be God's will that Lazarus had to die. God says, no. It's time that the modern day church know that God can recall dreams. God can come on, those things that you gave up on. And church, you know, sometimes I get tired. Not sometimes, most times I'm tired. I travel 76 flights this year. It's not a joke, I'm tired. My wife always say, I'm married to a tired man. What a great inspiration. I'm tired because what I do takes a lot of energy out of me. But when the glory comes, the other day I was in a great church and we had altar calls from Sunday to Wednesday. I've prayed for hundreds of people. And there was a medical doctor, and he does heart surgeries, and his aim is to do heart surgeries on about 1,000, 2,000 people. It's a passion for him, but his body is aching. His body has developed pains because he's constantly busy rescuing and helping people, and it has become a ministry. And I prayed for him that night. He was in such pain. And the next moment, the medical doctor, heart surgeon, jumped on his two legs. This happened a few weeks ago. And he shouted. He says, the pain is gone. I'm healed. I'm going to do surgeries for Jesus. I want thousands of heart surgeries. That's his whole goal. And I stood there. I said, my Lord, that's the glory. Excuse me, let me be more subdued. That's the glory. Come on, church. It's no wonder I'm tired. Because when the glory comes into your bones and when it comes into your... I saw it tonight on Pastor. I mean, there was one point that I saw, this man is going to preach and I'm the guest speaker and he's going to take my slot. I said, Lord, and even that young man there, oh, here comes Lazarus. They unwrap him. So the stone and the clothing was their confessions. It's over. Tonight God is saying, remove your stone, remove your wrappings, for glory doesn't need your stone and glory doesn't need your wrappings, because glory breathes, and here comes Lazarus. Here comes Lazarus. Here comes the glory. Here comes the glory. Come on, I want you to see in the spirit that thing that you gave up on. You need to say, here comes my miracle. Here comes that miracle that I missed 10 years ago. Come on, here it comes. Here comes glory. It's the story you told tonight about Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. They prayed a prayer. That was an ancient prayer they prayed. To have a son. And the Bible says they were advanced in years. That means they were old. Advanced is just a nice word for old age. And then Zechariah was at the temple and he had to go back and he had to tell Elizabeth, Elizabeth, you will not believe me. The angel said, we need to try one more time. When the glory comes, it's amazing what God can do in an ancient, advanced body. Come on, you know how it works. Don't play holy on me. Pastor said, that's right. And what happened? Because he complained. He didn't believe it. And then what happened? Elizabeth got pregnant and he lost his speech. Because God decided, if you're not going to agree when my glory will come, then I'll have to shut your mouth for 9 months so that you cannot speak negative over the glorious thing that I'm going to do. And for 9 months, he saw how her stomach is getting bigger. She's getting older, but she's getting bigger with life on the inside. And all he can do is go, for 9 months, he watched how the glory of God developed in his wife. And you know the story. Go read it for yourself. I think I preach about it in this church. So what am I saying to you? When the glory comes, come in alignment with God's word. When the glory comes, don't criticize. Hallelujah. When the glory comes, don't say you should have been here. Know that you know that he delayed your process. And you know what? If you delay your miracle, you're not going to die. Because he wants you to see the miracle. Cheer up. Your greatest days are ahead of you. 2 days delayed for glory. Lazarus came out and Jesus stunned the whole world. I think if the superintendent of the Assemblies of God was there, he would have said, your credentials has just been restored. You can be an AG pastor again. Oh, church, come on. We serve a living God. We serve an amazing God. Do you realize that I'm not talking about a God that God had put in place to represent him? No, I'm preaching about the living God. I'm preaching about your Savior, your healer, your deliverer, the one that keeps your promises alive. Come on. The glory of the Lord is here. Here comes the glory. Everybody say, here comes the glory. When Lazarus came out, he heard about the complaints of Mary and Martha. You should have been here. I think you heard it all. But then he realized Jesus loves him too much to leave him in that tomb. And I want to say to all of you, I stand in front of you as somebody that can testify. He is late at times, But now that I have a better understanding in my 60s and my early 70s, looking back, I say, thank you, Jesus. Let me be honest with you. For many years in my early ministry, I thought I got a bad hand. You know what that means? You play cards, you got a bad hand. I don't play cards, but I know that is what they say. You got a bad hand. I really thought, Lord, I wish in my case it worked like in that case and that guy and this guy. Lord, why not? And what's going on, Lord? Thank God for what you do, Lord. It's amazing. But God, I would love it to happen like that guy and that guy and that guy. And then one day I drove past a gas station and the Lord said to me, your life will be like Joseph. You will go with a detour road. I can still see it, how I drove past that gas station. And I said to Naomi, the Lord just told me, my life will be like Joseph. We will go with a detour road. Thank God for the detour road. Now that I know what road God took them on, I thank God for my detour road. That was in 1978. That was when your mother and father were still courting. Watch this. I came into America in 2001. 2002, I'm on the West Coast. I go from one little church to another. The one pastor said to me, Andre, you've done meetings for us, thank you. Go with me. Saturday afternoon, there's a men's conference. You need to go with me into the men's conference. In that men's conference, there is a pastor. That is the next church you will go to. I said, okay. I go into the men's conference. Remember, it's many years after God said, your life will be like Joseph. Here I am. I'm now in America. I go from one little church to another, trusting God. In the men's conference, Saturday afternoon, I sit right in the back, 800 men. I sit in the back of the conference, and I said, okay, God, I couldn't care what this conference is all about. I don't even know who's the speaker. I'm just going to meet my next church pastor after this meeting, and we're going to drive to his church. To be honest with you, I felt so foreign. I felt so out of my place. Nothing makes sense. The culture is different. Everything is different. And the next moment, the man of God on the platform says, there's a man right in the back of the conference. And he identified me. He said, would you stand up, sir? I stood up. I said, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen now? He says, the Lord shows me that there is a connection between you and South Africa. Prophet. And the Lord said, you must write a book on Joseph. I said, oh my goodness. I couldn't tell him. If I could tell him, I could have said to him, they will deliver the book 2 weeks from now. It's already written. It's called The Detour Road of Joseph, The 6 P's in the Life of Joseph. What happened? The book was delivered 2 weeks later. 6 years later, they invited me to a prophetic conference in New York. I'm sitting there. I'm going to speak. And I'm sitting there, and they introduce a speaker that's a prophet with me. He's going to And as he spoke, the Holy Spirit said, you have connection with this man. I said, Lord, I don't know this man from Adam. I bent over to the lady that brought him in. I said, what is his name again? She gave me the name. The Holy Spirit said, that's the man that prophesied to you years ago on the West Coast. What I told you in 1978, that you will go with a detour road like Joseph. You had, come on, church. God delayed me on a detour road, but I thank God for my detour road. I tell you what, if there's one thing that's outstanding, and I'm preaching too long tonight, it's the fact that God delayed me and took me on a detour road, because what I have today and what I taste today and what I see today is 10 million times more than what the average pastor in South Africa will ever see. But I thought he delayed me. In the meantime, he has set me up for glory. Keyboards, please. Okay. How many of you believe 2 days can be 20 days for you, can be 2 years for another person, can be 5 years for another person? I don't care how long it is. But if Jesus said, I'm going to wait, you can die, you can give up on that end. When he's coming, he's going to recall. Because he's got a letter in his hand that says he needs to do a recall. Because he is the letter. He is the word. And I want to say to all of you tonight, get ready to hear your name for the recall. And I think that night when Jesus was back in the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, he went to there, he stayed there many times. I think I can just see Martha and Mary at the table saying, Lord, forgive us. We thought we understood who you are, but now we've seen glory beyond 4 days. We've seen something we would not have seen had you not delayed yourself. And I want to say to you, prepare yourself to see something just because he stayed away. How many of you believe that this is your night? You had to hear this. If you know in what struggle I was to even bring this, if you know I was sitting here and I was all over my Bible trying to go in another direction, but now I know this is what he wants. 2 days for